Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Ma'amar by Ram Goldhar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Zayin, the third parak, Zeborer. The Zikhu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zikhu Nishmas Rav Moshe ben Yamin ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, Amoraim disagree when an aide who was found a Zomim is disqualified. Abaya says, L'mafrehu nipsal. He's disqualified retroactively from the moment of Eidus, and any subsequent testimonies are invalid. Mi'idin da'asid rashu, because from the moment he testified, he became a Rasha, and the Torah disqualifies a Rasha's testimony. Rava says, Mikanu labohu nipsal. He's only disqualified from now onward. Eid zomim chidushu, because the discrediting of an Eid zomim is a chidush. My chazit samcha dahani. What reason do you see to rely on the second Eidim discrediting the first? Samcha hani. Rely on these first witnesses who testify they were there. Since it's a chiddush, you can only apply it from the time of the chiddush and onward, meaning from the time of the discrediting testimony. Alternatively, Rava holds that although midaraisa, an eid zomim, is disqualified retroactively, the rabbis enacted not to disqualify his previous testimonies, mishum psidei delokuchos, because of the loss of buyers who use him as a witness in the interim. The Gemara provides nafka minas between the explanations. The halacha falls Abaya against Rava and is the ayin of the Yalka Gam list of such instances. Point number two, the Gemara states, Mumur ochel nevelos l'teavon, a renegade who eats meat without shechita for desire, meaning because of hunger, where kosher meat is unavailable or more expensive, divrei kol pasul, all agree he's disqualified from testifying. Since he's willing to sin for financial reasons, meaning cheaper meat, he might accept money to testify falsely. Amoraim debate the status of one who eats nevela hachis in defiance of the Torah, even where kosher meat is available. Abai says he is pasul because he's a Rasha, and the Torah says, Al tashes Rasha aid, do not place a wicked person as an aid. Rava says he's kosher because Rasha de chamas b'inan, we require him to be wicked regarding theft to be disqualified, based on the end of the pasuk, Uyos eid chamas, to be a thieving witness. The Gemara discusses how this Malchokas relates to Malchokas Tanaim about an eid zomim, whom Rabbi Meir disqualifies for all testimonies, including dinin nefashos, but Rabbi Yossi says if he only testified falsely regarding dinin mamonos, he's not disqualified for the more serious testimony of dinin nefashos. The halacha follows Abaye and is the mem of Yalka Gam. And point number three, the next Mishnah lists the relatives who are disqualified from testifying or judging a person, a brother, a father's brother, a mother's brother, a sister's husband, a father's sister's husband, a mother's sister's husband, a mother's husband, his father-in-law, and his brother-in-law, meaning his wife's sister's husband. For this list, hen, uvnen, v'chasnen, they, their sons, and their sons-in-law are all disqualified. V'chorgo levado, and a stepson alone is disqualified, but not his son or son-in-law. Rav Yossi says this reflects Rabbi Kiva's Mishnah, but an earlier version of the Mishnah only disqualified his uncle's son, Bakoa Rui Yorsho, and anyone eligible to inherit him. Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies an ohev vahasona, a close friend and an enemy from testifying, which he defines, but the Chachamim said, Onachshel Yisrael kach, people of Yisrael are not suspected about testifying falsely out of love or hatred. A braisa darshans the pasuk, Oimusu avos obanim, a father shall not be killed because of their sons, to mean that fathers are not killed be'edus banim, based on their sons' testimony, and sons are not killed based on their father's testimony. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Amoraim disagree when an aide who is found in Zomim is disqualified. Abaya says, L'mafrehu nipsal. He's disqualified retroactively from the moment of Eidus, and any subsequent testimonies are invalid. Mi'idin da'asid rashu, because from the moment he testified, he became a Rasha, and the Torah disqualifies a Rasha's testimony. Rava says, Mikanu labohu nipsal. He's only disqualified from now onward. Eid zomim chidushu, because the discrediting of an eid zomim is a chidush. My chazit samcha dahani. What reason do you see to rely on the second eidim discrediting the first? Samcha hani. Rely on these first witnesses who testified they were there. Since it's a chiddush, you can only apply it from the time of the chiddush and onward, meaning from the time of the discrediting testimony. Alternatively, Rava holds that although midaraisa, an eid zomim, is disqualified retroactively, the rabbis enacted not to disqualify his previous testimonies, mishum psidei delokuchos, because of the loss of buyers who use him as a witness in the interim. The Gemara provides nafka minas between the explanations. The halacha falls Abaya against Rava and is the ayin of the Yalka Gam list of such instances. Point number two, the Gemara states, Mumur ochel nevelos l'teavon, a renegade who eats meat without shechita for desire, meaning because of hunger, where kosher meat is unavailable or more expensive, divrei kol pasul, all agree he's disqualified from testifying. Since he's willing to sin for financial reasons, meaning cheaper meat, he might accept money to testify falsely. Amoraim debate the status of one who eats nevela hachis in defiance of the Torah, even where kosher meat is available. Abai says he is puzzled because he's a Rasha, and the Torah says, Al tashes Rasha aid, do not place a wicked person as an aid. Rava says he's kosher because Rasha the chamas b'inan, we require him to be wicked regarding theft to be disqualified, based on the end of the pasuk, Uyos eid chamas, to be a thieving witness. The Gemara discusses how this malchokas relates to malchokas tanaim about an eid zomim whom Rabbi Meir disqualifies for all testimonies, including dinim nefashos, but Rabbi Yossi says if he only testified falsely regarding dinim mamonos, he's not disqualified for the more serious testimony of dinim nefashos. The halacha follows Abaye and is the mem of Yal Kagam. And point number three, the next Mishnah lists the relatives who are disqualified from testifying or judging a person: a brother, a father's brother, a mother's brother, a sister's husband, a father's sister's husband, a mother's sister's husband, a mother's husband, his father-in-law, and his brother-in-law, meaning his wife's sister's husband. For this list, hen, uvnen, v'chasnen, they, their sons, and their sons-in-law are all disqualified. V'chorgo levado, and a stepson alone is disqualified, but not his son or son-in-law. Rabbi Yossi says this reflects Rabbi Kiva's Mishnah, but an earlier version of the Mishnah only disqualified his uncle, his uncle's son, Bakoa Rui Yorsho, and anyone eligible to inherit him. Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies an Ohev Vahasona, a close friend and an enemy, from testifying, which he defines, but the Chachamim said, Onachshir Yisrael Kach, people of Yisrael are not suspected about testifying falsely out of love or hatred. A braisa darshans the pasuk, Hoyimusu avos obanim, a father shall not be killed because of their sons, to mean that fathers are not killed be'edus banim, based on their son's testimony, and sons are not killed based on their father's testimony. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chav Zayin, and our standard siman is a kazoo, which is a toy instrument children play with that makes a buzzing sound. So here goes. Well, one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eid zomim, who was upset to hear that he was disqualified. Lima Freya. Another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela hachis because he was a Rasha, and instead played for a whole group of different family members sitting outside a beis din who weren't allowed to testify for their relative. Once again, slow motion. Well, one boy played his kazoo. Kazoo? That must be more a daf Chav Zayin. Well, one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eid zomim, who was upset to hear that he was disqualified. Lima Freya, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if an eid zomim is disqualified, Lima Freya or Mekanula Abba. Abai holds he is pasul Lima Freya since he's a Rasha, and a Rasha cannot be an aid. Rava holds that he's only pasul Mekanula Abba since the whole concept of eidim zomim is a chiddush, since there's no reason why the second set of eidim should be believed any more than the first set. So, while one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eid zomim who was upset to hear that he was disqualified, Lima Freya, another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela lahachis because he was a Rasha, which reminds us, Amoraim debate the status of one who eats nevela lahachis in defiance of the Torah, even where kosher meat is available. Abai says he's puzzled because he's a Rasha, and the Torah says, Al tashes Rasha aid, do not place a wicked person as an aid. Rava says he's kosher because Rasha de chamas be'inam, we require him to be wicked regarding theft to be disqualified, based on the end of the pasuk, Leos eid chamas, to be a thieving witness. So while one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eid zomim who was upset to hear that he was disqualified, Lima Freya, another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela hachis because he was a Rasha, and instead played for a whole group of different family members sitting outside a basin who weren't allowed to testify for their relative, which reminds us the next Mishnah list, the relatives are disqualified from testifying or judging. So once again, while one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eid zomim who was upset to hear that he was disqualified, Lima Freya, another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela hachis because he was a Rasha, and instead played for a whole group of different family members sitting outside a beis din who weren't allowed to testify for their relative. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Chav Gimel. So the simmer Daf Chav Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. It was a rough night at the Kugelach match. Kugelach? That must be on Daf Chav Gimel. It was a rough night at the Kugelach match when after each competitor chose a judge and the two judges chose the third judge, which reminds us, the third parak begins by discussing the selection of three judges for monetary cases. Zeb Boro Lo Echod, Zeb Boro Lo Echod. This litigant chooses himself one, and that litigant chooses himself one. Ushnein Boro Linhen Odechad. And they both choose one more for themselves, according to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, Shnei Dayanim Boro Linhen Odechad. The two judges choose one more for them. So it was a rough night of the Kugelach match, when after each competitor chose a judge, and the two judges chose the third judge, one of the boys tried to disqualify the other boy's judge, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, Rebbe Meir said, Zeh posel dayano shozeh, v'zeh posel dayano shozeh. This litigant can disqualify the judge chosen by that litigant, and that litigant can disqualify the judge chosen by this litigant. The Chachamim say one must provide proof to disqualify a judge. The Gemara wonders how Rebbe Meir allows a Baal Din to simply disqualify a judge, and Rebbe Yochanan explains, they taught this law regarding courts of Surya, whose judges were not experts in Torah law, but appointed by public consent. Either Baal Din can refuse such a judge and insist on a knowledgeable one, but he cannot reject mumchim, experts. So it was a rough night of the Kugelach match, when after each competitor chose a judge, and the two judges chose the third judge, one of the boys tried to disqualify the other boy's judge, while the second boy tried to disqualify the first boy's witness, claiming he was descended from slaves and not qualified to testify, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchus about a Baal Din disqualifying a witness. The Gemara asks that the Baal Din is Nogeya Be'eduso. He's partial in his testimony since it directly impacts his case. Two answers are given, the first one being that the Baal Din and his accompanying witness testified to a witness's disqualification based on Pekam Mishpacha, a blemished lineage, such as descending from slaves. Rebbe Meir holds that they're testifying about his family, and the witness is disqualified along with him, and the Rabban respond that he's still Nogeya Be'edus. Daf Chav Dalet, so the Simur Daf Chav Dalet is a cud, a pitcher. So here goes. While the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher, that must be on Daf Chav Dalet, cud. While the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovlim, which reminds us the Gemara compares how the Talmid Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael acted toward each other versus those of Babel. So, while the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovlim, regarding what to tell the man who approached them and said, my father is acceptable to me as a judge, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a Baal Daver says, Ne'aman alai Abba, my father is acceptable to me as a judge, meaning he allows him to judge despite being disqualified as a relative, or Ne'aman alai Avicho, your father is acceptable to me, or Ne'amanim alai Shlosha Roi Bakar, three ignorant cattle herders are acceptable to me. Remer says he may retract his acceptance. The Chachamim say, Enu Yachulach Zerbo, he cannot retract. So while the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovlim, regarding what to tell the man who approached them and said, my father is acceptable to me as a judge, pointing to his father who was a gambler and used a pitcher to roll the dice, which reminds us, Rav Shesha says the reason a Masachek Bekubia, a gambler, is puzzled to give edus is not because gambling is considered an asmachta, because he realizes that the game's outcome is not in his control and commits to its result. Rather, his disqualification is Lefisha Ein Asukim BeYeshivu Sho'olam, because he's not engaged in the settlement of the world and is therefore unfamiliar with commerce. Daf Chafei, so the Simur Daf Chafei is a 25th silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. When the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for their 25th silver wedding anniversary, 25th silver wedding anniversary? That must be more daf chaf hey. When the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, which reminds the Gemara brings two pshatim what mafrichen yonim are. They're either pigeon racers or ones who steal other people's pigeons. So, when the pigeon racer presented his wife the pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, she told him she would rather he do tshuva and become kosher le'edus by breaking his pigeon clackers, which reminds the Gemara discusses how psalm the Mishnah regained their eligibility. A pigeon racer must break his clacker, which is used to urge the pigeons on. So when the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, she told him she would rather he do tshuva and become kosher le'edus by breaking his pigeon clackers, not like his brother who steals candy from kids, making him puzzle le'edus. Which reminds us, a brisa teaches that they later disqualified gazlanim and chamsanim, robbers and those who pay for someone's item which they take by force. Since gazlanim are biblically disqualified, the Gemara explains it means one who steals items found by a chereshot v'katan, which they do not legally acquire. Originally, the rabbis thought this was uncommon, or that it was not true theft, since their ownership is only mifnei darkei shalom for the purpose of peace. However, they were eventually disqualified since they take money illegally. Daf Chavav, so the Simur Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. When the leader of the military coup, that must be more Daf Chavav. when the leader of the military group who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashem ain't no mean a minion, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Shevna and Chizkiah and the Navi telling Chizkiah, Kesher Hashem ain't no mean a minion, an alliance of Hashem is not counted towards the majority. So when the leader of the military coup who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashem ain't no mean a minion, he didn't bother asking a passing Talmud Chacham for help because Torah Mateshes Kocho Shadim, which reminds us, the Pasuk says, Hifli Eitza Higdol Toshia, he has shown wonderful counsel, vast wisdom. The word Toshia refers to Torah, and Rabbi Hanan explains, Mifneishi Mateshes Kocho Shadim, because it weakens a man's strength. Other drushes are brought on the word Toshia. So when the leader of the military who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashem ain't no mean a minion, he didn't bother asking a passing Talmud Chacham for help because Torah Mateshes Kocho Shadim. So he turned to a soldier raising funds for a coup who was possible for Eidus because he accepted Staka from Goyim, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Ochli davar acher psulin eidus. Those who consume something else, meaning those who accept staka from Gentiles, are disqualified from giving testimony. Rashi explains that he's causing achil Hashem for financial purposes. He's only disqualified if he accepted the money publicly, and he could have supported himself by receiving the money privately. But if this was impossible, chiyusehu, it is necessary for his livelihood, and he remains eligible. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you know about the disqualification of those who accept tzedakah from goyim? That's on daf chavav. Good. Number two, which stuff do you know about the incident of Tamar and Amun and the instituting of yichud? That's on daf chavav. Good. Number three, which stuff do you know about the process for psulim of the Mishnah to regain eligibility to give edus? That's on daf chafhei. Good. Number four, which stuff do we have malachok is whether a mumer who eats nevel hachis is disqualified from giving edus? That's on daf chavzayin. Good. Number five, which stuff do we have malachok is how dayanim are selected in cases of dinim amonos? That's on daf chavgemo. Good. Number six, which stuff do we know about all the different relatives that are puzzled from giving edus? That's on daf chavzayin. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we have malchus whether a bald din can disqualify a dayan? That's on daf chavgimel. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we discuss why a gambler is possible for edus? That's on daf chavdalad. Number nine, which stuff do we have malchus whether an eid zomim is possible mafreyo or mikan l'haba? That's on daf chavzayin. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we have the story of Shevna and Chizkiah? And we learn Kesher Hashem ain't no mean a minion. That's on daf chavav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.